You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit VOTR.church.
Amen and good morning. Man, it's great to worship with all of you. I love starting my Sundays, lifting our voices in kind of a unified song. It's just a special way. And as Terry said, there's just a lot. It's been a busy month at the Vineyard. There's been a lot going on, right? I mean, we added a second service. We had our newcomers gathering. We'll keep doing that. Our last spiritual boot camp had over 80 people being trained and discipled, which was really special. Obviously, a celebration today and all kinds of ways to serve. So it's a lot of special stuff happening at the Vineyard. And if we've never gotten a chance to meet, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard and grateful to be worshiping with all of you. Today, we're wrapping up our series that we've been in all month titled People of His Presence. And I pray that this has been a meaningful sermon series for you, that you've encountered the Lord, and that you've learned a little bit about how you can engage with God privately, but also what happens when we gather together, how we can engage with the Lord with one another. The stories that I've been hearing have actually been pretty amazing. I mean, I've heard stories from people who have been following God longer than I've been alive, about how they're experiencing the presence and power of God in new and powerful ways. Just a few weeks ago, someone told me a story about what was happening to them during church. It was during our ministry time and our worship service. They really felt the presence and power of God resting on them in a unique kind of way. And it was so unique that they had to stop what they were doing and go and pray for someone else. And when they did that, it was like a whole nother wave of the Spirit of God resting on them and moving through them as they prayed for someone else. This person had never experienced that before. There are stories of people experiencing God on their way into church. And it was encouraging. Also a little, you know, us lead pastors, we have tender little hearts. So I was kind of bummed that to find out it wasn't when I was preaching or it wasn't when Matt's team was singing or during communion or anything like that. It was when they were driving past our church. The hairs on their arms kind of stood up. God began whispering to their heart, and it was almost like a magnet was drawing them into church to experience God together. And one thing that was super encouraging to me is that I've also heard stories about what God's up to outside of our gathering, outside of our church. I just heard a story last week about someone praying for a friend while they were having a beer together at a happy hour. And healing broke out in that moment while they prayed. I mean, does it get any more Vineyard than that? Just natural people doing supernatural things as they go about their lives, experiencing the power of Christ. Now, these kinds of stories, they probably don't happen to 100% of us 100% of the time that we meet. But every Sunday when we gather, and every moment where you focus your life on the presence of God, you are investing in your spiritual life and you're connecting with the ever-present Spirit of God. I'm praying we get to hear 1,000 more stories like this. And a great opportunity to be a part of or write your own story is to come back to this room on Wednesday night this week for an upcoming Holy Spirit night of ministry and worship. There, in my opinion, is not really a better way to prepare for all of the craziness that is coming down the pipeline in our culture. I mean, you're talking holidays upon holidays upon holidays. You're talking about an election cycle. You might have forgotten there's an election happening. People are getting really weird. There's no better way to prepare for everything that's happening than to gather together for an extended amount of time of worship, prayer, and ministry than to come to one of these nights. I want to encourage you to join us for that special night, but also to kind of lean into the passages that I'm going to share this morning as we wrap up our current series, People of His Presence. You know, when we started this series, we spent 2 consecutive weeks in the Old Testament, and we were talking about how the power and presence of God showed up in the Old Testament. Just last week, then, We spent the entire sermon in just one passage in the Gospel of Luke. But today, we're going to look at a broad landscape of the New Testament. It's going to be a lot of different scriptures coming at you. There's going to be a lot of different promises, and they're all tied to what's happened in our relationship with God after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These passages are promises about who you are because of Jesus, who we are collectively because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. And they're all promises about how we can begin to experience a taste of heaven on earth because of your relationship with God. Every passage I'm going to read is a promise that is yours once you decide to give your life to Jesus and become a follower of Christ. And if you've never made a decision to have a personal and life-transforming relationship with Jesus, one where you offer him your entire life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he offers you forgiveness in its place, and he gives you a purpose and a relationship with God, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, we'll help you do that at the end of our service this morning. Because as you engage in the Bible and as you engage with faith, you realize there's a big difference between being around Christianity and having a personal walk with God. There's a big difference maybe between identifying as a Christian because that's what made sense for you as a child or that's what you're used to, and actually saying from the bottom of your heart, I am choosing to follow Jesus from this day forward. If that's you, we'll help you make that decision later in our service. But for now, we're going to walk our way through the New Testament, talking about the different promises that God has given to each of us, to you individually, but also to us collectively. And promise number one is that when you give your life to Jesus, God's Spirit lives within you. When you give your life to Jesus, God's Spirit lives within you. This is a promise that we cannot forget. But honestly, sometimes we don't always understand how these promises work. It's a bit of a mystery. Pastors don't always have all of the answers to how the theology actually works out in our lives. And this one almost doesn't make sense. It almost doesn't make sense. I mean, I know it to be true. I've experienced God's Spirit filling me up and moving through me, but I often wonder, how does this biblical promise not just like blow me up? How does spontaneous combustion not happen every single time someone gives their life to Jesus and he places his Spirit within them? It's like all of the water in all of the oceans condensing down into one tiny little test tube, and that's probably an understatement about this biblical promise. That somehow, some way, God decided to place his Holy Spirit inside of our frail and broken human bodies. But it is our promise that God places his Spirit inside of you. And it's what sometimes makes people's bodies respond in really peculiar ways when they encounter the living God. Because our fragile, broken bodies aren't necessarily designed to experience the fullness of God's power. It's like sticking your finger in an electric socket. Something's going to happen to you when you experience the power of God. His Spirit promises to fill us. I mean, I honestly often wonder how this even works. I want to read a couple passages this morning, and as I read them, I just want you to pray and think about them, really just entertain them at a heart level about what this would mean if it was true. The first promise is from Romans 8, and in Romans 8, it's an entire chapter dedicated about what your life with God can look like after you give your life to Jesus. Romans 8, starting in verse 9, this is what it says, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you." The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Notice a couple of things. For one, once you give your life to Christ and his Spirit fills you, it says that the Spirit will guide you and lead you away from a life of sin and into a life of godliness. But more importantly for our message today, it says in verse 11 that the very Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. This is one of those moments in a message where it's okay to stop listening to the pastor for a minute and just pray that you would know what that passage means. Just like right now, tune me out and pray, God, I want to know what it means that the Spirit of Christ lives in me, that the very Spirit that raised Jesus out of the grave lives inside of my broken and frail and aging and dead body, that somehow your Spirit dwells within me. Lord, let that be true. I want to experience that. I want to experience it more and more and more. And my prayer for you is that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. May it be true. And you keep looking in the New Testament. I have to read another one because I love the Bible. If you don't know this about me, I love the Bible. It's probably a good thing. It's like a prerequisite for someone in my role. Colossians 1:27 says, "For God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ, therefore you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. I love how it says in this passage that God wanted them to know. God wanted them to know. God wants you to know. He desires you to know and experience this beautiful secret that Christ lives in you. That once you give your life to Christ, his Spirit dwells among you. We can never forget that. We have to lay hold of that truth, and we have to live like it's true, and we need to follow Jesus. Like wherever we go, Christ is going with us because he dwells within us. God's Spirit lives within you. And if this is true, if it's true that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, then it also means that everything we've been talking about in this entire series, all the power and presence and majesty from the passages of the Old Testament, all the glory and the experiences that people had, the Mount of Transfiguration that I preached about last week, if all of this is true, it means that all of that, all of those promises somehow dwell within your heart. Christ has come to make his home within you. Somehow, our body doesn't just explode when all of that happens. It means also the implication for you personally is that once you give your life to Christ and he places his Spirit within you, that you are the temple of God. That you are the temple of God. You hold the very Spirit of God within you. So wherever you go, you have the ability to have your own little private worship service wherever you are. That Christ is with you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Of course, we know that God bought you with the price of his most precious son, Jesus, who gave his life up for you on the cross. And because of that great price, we receive a great benefit. We somehow mysteriously and powerfully get to experience his Spirit within us, and we are now a living, walking, and breathing temple of God. We have a very special Sunday coming up in 2 weeks. And I always love these Sundays that we organize in just 2 weeks. So not the next Sunday, but the following Sunday after that, we're having a baptism Sunday. And baptism Sundays are always incredibly special because they're a way for you to publicly recognize that personal faith and that internal decision that you've made to follow Jesus as best as you can. It's a public declaration that God's Spirit dwells within you. And I can't think of a better Sunday to do a baptism than the week that we have coming up. Because number one, we've seen a lot of people in our faith community give their life to Jesus and start a relationship with the Lord. And it's time to celebrate that with a baptism Sunday. But number two, the baptism Sunday is about 5 or 6 days after the election. And I can't think of a better time than to celebrate new life in Jesus than when the world around us is going bonkers. And everyone is stressed and anxious, and they're all freaked out about what's happening. You might remember that a couple of months ago, I actually stood here and I told you, hey, something's going to happen. Around that, people are going to get really weird, and they're going to say things that you never thought they would say out loud, and they're going to act really strange around you, and it's because they're anxious and they're stressed. If you haven't been paying attention, this is you don't call me a prophetic guy, but I told you this was coming. There's not a better way than to come together the Sunday after that election and say, Jesus is king of my heart and Jesus is king of the universe. And we'll celebrate that with a baptism. Because listen, as people of his presence, we don't have to allow the anxiety and the chaos of the world around us to impact who we are in Christ. We don't get our peace from who's elected as president anyway. We find our peace when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and his spirit is moving among us. And so if you've given your life to Christ and you've not been baptized, whether that's you or you and your kids, I want to encourage you to go to votrweekly.org and sign up because we would be honored to celebrate that baptism with you. It's wonderful. Those Sundays are wonderful. It's amazing to celebrate what God has done in your life, but it's also a declaration of what he's going to do in your life in the future, how he's taken care of your life in the past, and also how somehow, some way, we get to experience a taste of heaven right here and right now. That God's spirit living within us isn't just a promise for heaven someday, but it's happening right now. That when you give your life to Jesus, you can experience his spirit today, that you are the temple. I told you there's going to be a lot of scriptures. I got another one to share. Look at 1 Peter 2:5 with me. It's basically the same thing of 1 Corinthians 6, but a different language. It's really beautiful symbolism. I don't want to read this to you. 1 Peter 2:5, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And what's more, you are his holy priests. His spirit is within you, which makes you the temple of God. And I love this passage because it says you're like a living stone that God is building and fitting together with Jesus as our center. And even more, God places an incredibly high value on your life as a follower of Jesus. He says you are a holy priest in his temple. And this passage is for anyone who decides to follow Jesus. It's not just designed for people like me or folks who wear a collar. If you have decided to give your life to Jesus, you are a holy priest in his temple. All of these scriptures, they're taking us on a journey. They're demonstrating what God has planned from the very beginning, that once you give your life to Jesus, he promises to place his spirit within you. He makes you a very temple of God, a living stone used to build a new spiritual temple. And this, of course, has implications for how you walk with God. And it has implications for how we gather together. It means something to what we believe is taking place on our Sundays when we share space together. Because it means if you are the temple of God, that also we are the temple of God. That you are the temple individually. That's in the Bible. I just read a bunch of passages about that. But also somehow, mysteriously, we are the temple together. It's both you and y'all all at the same time. That's some language from my Kansas City days, okay? It's you and y'all all at the same time. I want you to remember that passage from 1 Peter 2:5, how you're a living stone. Just keep that in the back of your mind as I read this next passage from you from Ephesians 2:20. That says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. We're carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Or 1 Corinthians 3:16, it would say it in a similar way. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? All of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you? All y'all together? The temple. The Spirit of God is moving in us. Something happens again. Remember the journey. Something happens when you give your life to Christ. He places his very spirit within you that makes you a living, breathing temple of God. But the Bible also teaches that when we gather together, something special happens. Something unique, something bigger than an individual faith takes place. And we get to experience something bigger than just our own private little world and our own private favorite songs and our private favorite Bible verses. Now we get to experience the temple of God together and God's Spirit moving among us in a unique kind of way. And there's a sweetness to the my little temple and my favorite songs and my favorite Bible verses and my chair in my home with my cup of coffee and everything that's about my life with God. There's a sweetness to that. And we can't sacrifice that. I mean, I give up sleep. I wake up early so that I can have my little temple in my little space. It's important. But when you gather together, this living stone that God has crafted in my heart, mixed with your living stone and your living stone and your living stone and your living stone, that comes together to build a new kind of temple, one where God moves among us in a unique kind of way to heal us and draw us into his love and move among us in power. See, the secret of Christ, we can never forget, it's been made known. Christ is with you. But Christ is with us. This has to impact how we show up together and how we worship together. And the faith that we carry into this room about how God might move among us. What happens when we place our lives together. And it also means that if the temple is gathering together and you're not here, then the temple's missing something. And that's not a word of shame or condemnation. That's just a real word. If we're designed to build a temple together, but your part of the living temple isn't among us, then something's missing. We're missing the fullness of what God has designed for our community together. Natalie and I, we recently went down to Denver to a concert with our kids. We took them to a Lauren Daigle concert. It was a great experience. The music was the fun and the vibe was incredible. Our kids were loving it. But if you think back to, as we think back, Natalie and I talk about that concert we went to, there was a huge difference between a part of the night because she stopped singing at us and entertaining us, and she invited us to sing with her to God. There was like a clear point in the concert where it stopped being a concert and it started being a worship service. And you could tangibly feel the way all of our lives were being fit together and knit together in that moment. Now we weren't just being sung at, but we were singing to heaven. We were lifting our voices together, and it was powerful. It was powerful. And I looked around, and I saw all kinds of different folks there. I mean, Natalie and I, we had our three little kids, so they were young, and there were older people around us and folks of different races and backgrounds and social status. There's all kinds of different humans in that space. And honestly, it reminded me a lot of what we're celebrating today with our Every Tribe, Every Nation celebration. From the moment you walked into church today, you saw all the flags, you saw the welcome signs, you saw the tables and decorations all in the back of the room. And as Terry mentioned, after second service, there's even going to be food. It's going to be the best smelling church you've ever been to in your life. There'll be incredible conversation and relationships happening, and we would invite you to come and participate, because in our little church in Fort Collins, Colorado, all of these tables that are decorated, they're decorated by people who attend our church. We have over 20 nations represented in our church. In what's become a cultural narrative that there's not a lot of diversity in Northern Colorado. I beg to differ. If you look and you invite and you welcome and you show hospitality, it turns out you're surrounded by people that don't think, look, maybe even speak like you. And we're creating a space where we can join together. It's God weaving lives and building blocks together to make a new kind of temple, these living stones. Last passage for us today, because all of this fits in this picture of heaven that we get in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It's what this celebration is about today. This is what it says about this picture of heaven. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and they held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a mighty shout, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Heaven will be filled with people that don't look, sound, speak, and worship like you. And our prayer at the Vineyard is that you won't be surprised by that when you get to heaven. That would be a major bummer. Our prayer is that we could begin to experience that starting today. Every tribe, every nation, united together, worshiping God. Because again, remember the journey when you give your life to Christ. He places his Spirit within you. You become the living temple of God, but you're also fit together in lives with others to make a greater temple and a greater experience, even dating back to when these passages were first written. It's not just our local church and our area and every tribe and every nation. It's also the historic church. We're all fit together in this beautiful expression of God's living, breathing, and active temple. From the very first page in your Bible to page 1022. That's how long mine is. I don't know how long yours is. It depends on the size of your font, I think, and how good your eyes are. My font's quite small, so I can get it down to 1,000 pages. My mom's Bible is about 3,000 pages. I love you, Mom. I know you're online. Listen, God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants your personal walk with God to be filled with his Spirit. That's why he's placed his Spirit within you. But God also wants you to have a collective and dependent and united life with his people, one where you bring your little temple and you fit it along someone else's little temple and someone else's little temple and someone else's little temple, so that once a week, when we gather together, we experience a more powerful expression of his presence on earth as it's promised to us in heaven. So how are you living into those promises today? How are you embracing the truth that God's Spirit lives within you? How is it impacting the way that you gather? How are you allowing the promises of the Bible to impact your life with God and your life with his people? Let's pray about those things together.